Gun violence in Chicago has been one of the biggest issues facing the city in recent years. One of the root causes, experts believe, is the availability of guns.
Our next guest says it's not big trafficking rings supplying the weapons, but mostly small-time sellers. In a new piece, he tells the story of John Thomas, a Chicago resident who got caught up in illegal gun sales in the city and how far authorities are willing to go to stop individuals like him. What's unclear, though, is whether or not the approach is working when it comes to cleaning up the city's gun problem.
Mick Dumke joins us now. He's a reporter for ProPublica Illinois, and his recent story there is called How Chicago Gets Its Guns. Mick, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
How big of a problem is the availability of guns in the city of Chicago?
Well, I'd say it's pretty significant. I don't think it's unique to Chicago, of course. I think Milwaukee and a lot of other cities across the country have had similar issues. But Chicago, I think in part because our former president from here is really in the spotlight. And, of course, among the largest cities in the country, Chicago has statistically the worst problem as well. But yeah, it's real. I mean, just this last weekend, I was walking to my neighborhood market and came across the scene of a shooting that had just happened a few minutes earlier. So it seems to be an epidemic here that just hasn't gone away despite years and years of efforts from people.
And your report gets at the question whether the guns that are used in some of the illegal shootings on the streets, whether it's big trafficking rings or whether it's a littler problem with individuals involved. And you seem to reveal that it's individuals. And your story follows John Thomas, who got caught up in a web of illegal gun deals. Can you give us some background on Thomas and how he got involved in this?
Yeah, I guess the first thing is, real quickly, to underscore the point you made, there are obviously some organizations that are going to bring in, or individuals who are going to bring in, you know, carloads of weapons. That does happen now and then. But by and large, what I found in talking to law enforcement, researchers, and just talking to a lot of guys on the street, is that it's usually small-time players, somebody who is exchanging one or two or three small numbers of weapons among their own social network. And Chicago police this year so far have seized more than 7,000 guns, some of them used in crimes, others that were just illegally possessed or transferred. And, you know, they find that these guns tend to be years old, so they bounce around for a long time on the street. So that makes it incredibly difficult to go back and find the original source of the weapons. John Thomas is a guy, we looked at his case very closely. He's a lifelong Chicagoan, grew up in a neighborhood that has had its own issues with gang violence, but John really tried to steer clear of that for most of his life. He, you know, he'd been in some trouble, dealt weed and some other kind of small-time things along the way. But in 2014, he was really hurting for money, and he befriended an individual who approached him and said, "I can help you make some more money if you can help me track down some guns to buy." And he reluctantly kind of drawn in this. He resisted it for a while, then he decided he needed the money, and he went for it. And within a few weeks, the individual he was working with himself was busted by federal authorities and agreed to cooperate, and then continued to work with John to arrange more gun sales. So over the next several months, John was involved in a total of 23 gun transactions involving 77 guns that were, and then these transactions were all set up by the federal government.
And can you talk about that a little more, the role that informants play in all of this and how that happened to play out in John Thomas's story?
Well, this is the way that federal authorities often go after, lawbreakers, whether it's political corruption. They'll often find someone who is with a wire and offers bribes to elected officials. Unfortunately, in Chicago, we see quite a few of those cases as well. Terrorism, they do the same thing. They will try to lure in vulnerable young men into fictitious plots. And the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the ATF, does the same thing when it comes to gun trafficking. So in this instance, I don't know why they looked at this particular individual. His name was Yusuf, but they started to, they had an informant who was working for them who first got this guy Yusuf involved by offering him a lot of money to sell them guns. And these were people working for the government the whole time. And then after Yusuf did this for a while and drew in this individual, John Thomas, we were talking about, they eventually confronted Yusuf and said, listen, you're in a lot of trouble. You can either help us out or stand on your own. But if you help us out, you know, we'll do what we can to go easier on you. And so, you know, he flipped and began working with the government and started wearing a recording device when he would meet up with John and these other individuals. And so they did this succession of gun deals and tried to kind of expand the net and get as many people as they could.
Now, one of the questions that you get in your piece is whether individuals like John Thomas would be engaged in selling firearms illegally if the ATF weren't involved and acting as sort of incentivizing these sales from behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think that is a central question of this case, and there are a lot like it. There certainly are illegal gun dealers in neighborhoods or people who, if that's not their, you know, their stated profession or something they're doing every single day, it's something they'll maybe do on the side or they'll do on an occasion. As we were talking about before, the market, the underground market for guns is very diffuse. There's a lot of people involved. So there's no doubt that there is a lot of gun exchange, gun dealing going on that is, you know, not licensed. They're getting in the hands of people who have been in trouble before, who have criminal intent. So there's a big problem. But I think the issue with when you look at a case like John's is that there's no evidence that he was ever involved in dealing guns until the government got involved using taxpayer money to basically set up a sting and to set up these gun deals. John says he never touched them before, he was never involved, and there's no evidence of it. So, you know, the question is, it kind of comes back to, you know, if there's people out there who are making these deals, why aren't we busting them? Why are we setting something up to lure people in who are vulnerable? And then, you know, you're essentially creating a gun network and then dismantling it and calling it a day. Does that really get us anywhere? I think that's the real question here.
And Mick, is there any evidence out there that this approach that you just outlined from the ATF is effective? Does it get guns out of the wrong hands?
Well, you know, if we're looking anecdotally here or looking on the surface, it's hard to say whether it's effective. I mean, obviously, the gun violence is just continuing. It goes up some months, it goes down some months, but we've had a spike here, as I said, like Milwaukee and a lot of St. Louis and a lot of other Midwestern cities have had as well, the last couple of years in particular. The authorities really feel strongly that when they set up these things like this and they take people down like John Thomas, that the word gets out on the street and that people are, it's a deterrent, and that people are wary, they're less likely to engage in gun dealing. But I just think there's scant evidence of that. I mean, on some level, you have to look at this as basic economics. There is a demand for guns, and someone is going to supply them. They're a legal product. We're not even talking about something like cocaine or heroin, which is illegal for virtually every single person who has it. Guns are a legal product, which has been determined by the Supreme Court and various federal and state laws that it's restricted only to a small group of people. So it's actually like the opposite of illegal narcotics. So they're just all over the place. And to say that there's a deterrent by luring people into a scheme that they weren't involved in the first place, we just don't have any hard evidence of that.
Mick, thanks a lot for talking.
Thank you. Thanks for your interest in the story.
That was Mick Dumke. He's a reporter for ProPublica Illinois, and his recent story is called How Chicago Gets Its Guns.
Coming up after the news, we'll look at the ongoing political response to NFL anthem protests, including what Governor Walker had to say. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.